Today we want to talk about see yourself whole. Everybody say this, see yourself whole. Say it loud. This year, I want you to begin to identify wholeness in your life. And what it is about embracing the value of your person, your presence, and your purpose. Do you know that you are a special person? Look at somebody and say, you are a very special person. And your presence matters, and your purpose was ordained by God. To see yourself whole is seeing yourself wealthy, healthy, open, and liberated. Now, wealthy, you have to be careful with that word because people only associate wealth with money. But wealth, money is the least of wealth because there are people that are wealthy with several other things that actually has created money in their life. How many got that? So I want you to see your wealth, see your value, identify it, and begin to move in God with it. People are going to make New Year's resolutions this year, but the reality is that 92% of them will fail. And I asked myself why. I wasn't sure. 26% made resolutions, 12% kept them, and 50% lost motivation somewhere in the year. There's resolutions about education, money, fitness. Fitness is the largest one, or getting healthy. That's the largest one. But why was the question I asked myself, and I begin to realize it's not the fruit, it's the root. Say, focus on the root and not the fruit. What that literally means is this. If you are struggling with your finances, the financial struggle that you're experiencing is the fruit of what's happening. It's not the root of what's happening. Or your fitness issues or your health issues. And, you know, if in the middle of the night, if I once would do this, would eat an entire carton of Häagen-Dazs butter pecan ice cream. And how many know that's not good? And one serving, there's enough fat in it for the entire day. And one serving, and there are four servings in that little carton. But what I had to identify that there was something deeper going on with me. And I was using that as an escape. And each time I would try to set a resolution, I'm going to change these habits, I'm going to change this, it would never change. And like those percentages that say 92% fail, I would fail until I began to identify who I really was. And so we want to get to the root of things. Jesus deals with your root. He doesn't deal with your fruit. That's why he's merciful every day. Say, the Lord loves me, and he's merciful toward me. The deal is that your root is everything that is in you is already there. Everything you need is already inside of you. How many believe that to be true? And what's inside of you today is that you are a wonder. Did you know that? Say, I'm wonderful. Right on. You should practice doing that. Also, greatness lives inside of you. And eternity lives inside of you. So you are a wonder. Greatness lives inside of you, and eternity lives inside of you. Today, we want to discuss living from our divine roots. Our divine roots. And our divine roots were given to us from God. We were made in the image and likeness of God. So we are not in the image and likeness of sin. How many know that to be true? And so if we spend all our time talking about the things that went wrong or consuming the things that went wrong, we're missing the point. That's not who you are. Amen? So go ahead and fill out your New Year's resolutions. Make your goals. Write them down. Say what you're going to do. And while you're writing those things down with every intention of succeeding, we are in church going to examine ourselves in the light of love, in the light of Christ. And we're going to identify those powerful divine roots that are in our life that make us who we are in Jesus' name. Let's stand together and read the Bible. Are you ready? All right, we're going to read Luke 13, 10 through 16. Ready? Let's read. Now, he was teaching one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of an infirmity for 18 years and was bent over and then could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. And she what? She glorified God. But the rulers of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come to be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day? The Lord answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from the bonds even on the Sabbath day? Somebody say, this is the Sabbath day. Set me free, Lord. Set me free, Lord. See, what did Jesus see? Jesus saw a whole person. He didn't see the fruit. The fruit of her life was being bent over for 18 years. And there could have been any number of reasons why she was bent over or why she had assumed this position in her body or what weighed her down to bring her to that place. But Jesus didn't see that. He saw a whole person that kept showing up, that kept being present, that seemed to believe that God was able to do whatever he asked. And to believe it or not, she didn't ask Jesus for anything. Jesus saw her whole, and reached out to her. He saw her root and not her fruit. He saw her divine roots. Let us declare the miracle of abundant life. Are you ready? Lord, I now relinquish all grievances, resentments, and regrets, and I choose the miracle. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Give God praise as you sit down.
Praise God. It's more than a metaphor. See, a tree doesn't eat its own fruit, and that's the law of nature. Trees don't eat their own fruit, and it's produced for someone else. So if in your life you're eating your own fruit, that may be harming you. See, an unrenewed mind leads to negative. And an unrenewed mind, it brings the deception that causes you to believe that what you've done or what you've become, good, bad, or ugly, is who you are. How many have ever felt that before? I am the mistakes that I made. I am the things that went wrong. And that's an unrenewed mind. That's why the mind must be renewed daily. The mind must be focused on. But in your heart, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's the root of you. You must be heart first. And the deal is this. For by grace you are what? Through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is what? And it is not from what? So that no one can. Now, the reality is that there's nothing about God's grace that you can do to earn it. It is given to you because God believes in identifying what's really inside of you, that you are a wonder, that you are divinely made, that he loves you, that you have unlimited possibilities. To see yourself whole, you must first live in or from your divine roots. Look at somebody and say, you are a VIP. You are a very important person. You really are. Here's a few thoughts on seeing yourself whole. Wholeness is an awareness of the power in your person, purpose, and presence. Where you are present, there also will your person and your purpose working together for good be. So wherever you are, the potential for what your gift can do, what your love can do, what your peace can do, it's there as well. Wholeness is awareness of your calling and of your value. In wholeness, your calling can change from season to season, but the value and impact of your person, purpose, and presence remains the same. How many have had assignments change? How many had assignments that you weren't necessarily cut out for, but you had to do them anyway? And somehow, some way, your purpose, your presence, your ability in God, your person, rose to the occasion and made it happen. Let the church say amen. In the story of Moses and Joshua, Joshua had an added assignment because Moses did not finish the job. So when Joshua went into the promised land, he wasn't just the general. He had to become the leader of the people. So he had a double assignment because Moses had an additional 40 years that he could not handle, and he did not finish the job. And so he had to add to his calling, and no matter what, he was still successful in both callings. Let the church say amen. Tell somebody this: you be you, but you first know you. That's truly wholeness. Now look at somebody and say this to them. Say it. You be you, but you first know you. That is truly wholeness. See, when life offers you situations that are incompatible with who you are, with the greater one that's within you, along with your wonderful self, will rise to the occasion. How many have had life offer you incompatible things that it just not make any sense? This woman in the scripture narrative, for 18 years, she had incompatible things working in her life, but she showed up on the Sabbath day according to the law and the word of God because she believed in God, and her roots were divine, and her person was divine because she was made in the image and likeness of God. And one day, her life caught up with what she believed. Anybody ever have your life catch up with what you believe? Seems like everything in your life is sagging behind what you believe, and you're wondering one day if it's ever going to catch up, and then one day your life changes and things begin to happen and answers begin to happen, and sometimes there are miracles. Let the church say amen. Amen. See, the Bible says that judgment starts in the house of God. Now, judgment is an interesting word, because we seem to always look at it in a negative tense. But judgment is just an evaluation. It's an evaluation of what we need to do and where we're going. We're assessing where we are, and we're going to make a plan on where to go. And so in order to judge the earth and move the earth forward, because Peter says that with this, that people, this judgment starts in the house of God, that the Christians of all people should know how to do the right thing. And if we in this room do the right thing and make the right decisions, our right decisions and right ideas and right feelings, our power of mercy, forgiveness, and love begins to transfer into the world around you. So judgment and evaluation to save the earth begins here. See, the church is the training ground to establish the habit of rising to the moment and doing good. Let the church say amen. And here is where we learn how to change the world. So when you see judgment starts in the house of God, that just means training camp for the world to be saved starts right here, right now. Give God praise offering because it's true. Hallelujah, right here, right now. Praise God. Your person, your presence, your purpose. Now this is a person, and this is his presence, this is his purpose. Made me laugh for weeks in December. And Corey, you know, he introduced himself as Soldier 2 with no lines. Now, the beauty of the story is this, is that Corey becomes this star, Soldier 2, because Denny's presence, person, and purpose became sick. He ended up in the hospital. And so the team had to come together. And Denny's better. He's ushering this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Give God praise for that. So while his person, presence, and purpose was recovering, John had to rise to the occasion with his person, presence, and purpose and assume Denny's role. But since John was assuming Denny's role, then Bob had to assume some of John's role. And so his person, presence, and purpose brought a bunch of whole new laughs as Omar during the production. It was amazing. But as Bob was moving in, Isaac had to move in, and his assignment initially was to do the offering to greet people. But all of a sudden, he's the priest. All of a sudden, he's the innkeeper. All of a sudden, he's an actor. He said, well, acting's not my calling. No, but in this season, we may need you to rise to the occasion because you have divine roots. And yes, he did rise to the occasion. And then it really got special because we had a meeting where we were praying for Denny. And then we said, okay, we need a contingency plan. What's going to happen? And then a young man named Peyton rose up and said, you know what? I can be one of the kings. And all of a sudden, Peyton's person, you know, CEO Peyton, right? The one that raised like about $600 for the youth group just last month and ready to raise some more because we're going to take a lot of youth to youth convention this year. A lot of folks are going to get saved in the youth group. But Peyton rose to the occasion and he made a difference because our roots are divine. And even if the calling is not our assignment, God gives us the capacity to rise. There are mothers that have to become fathers because the father was not there, but God gave them the capacity to rise to the occasion. We have fathers in this church that had to become mothers and rise to the occasion, and their person, their presence, their purpose takes on a new identity and a new thing. And because of the Lord, they can do all things through Christ that strengthens them. For everyone that's overcome this morning, give God a praise offering for you are a very, very, very important person. Amen. So here's the deal. With my divine roots, everything I need is already inside of me. Just do this. Say, everything I need is already inside of me. Now do it like a soul singer. Already inside of me. You got to get that little growl every now and then. Make it feel intimate and strong, right on. Everything you need is already inside of you because you are a wonder. You have greatness within you and you have eternity within you. Amen. I was created a whole person. You were always a whole person. This morning, the Lord just wants you to identify the wholeness within you. Just like the woman in the narrative that kept showing up on the Sabbath. Jesus says, now that's a whole person. But she's been over. She's been sick for 18 years. No, that's a whole person. And now her faith and her life has caught up with her faith. This year, many of your lives are going to catch up with your faith. Now, if you felt something in your heart when I said that, just lift your hand up and just say, yep, I felt that. I got it. Your life is about to catch up with your faith. Are you ready? Right on. So number one, you're a wonder. Look at that somebody and say, you're a wonder. You're a wonder. For the Bible says this. This is what David says. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. Now, how many of you have praised God for you this morning? I mean, this is what David is doing. He's praising God for being him. Good, bad, and ugly, I am wonderfully made, sick or not. I am wonderfully made. This year, you need to start getting up in the morning and start praising God that you're still on earth and you still got a chance to finish what God sets you on the course to do. Let the church say amen. Say, I praise you, Lord, that I am me. Woo! Yeah, there we go. Somebody got it. There should be a woo in your voice. I'm me, man. I got up and I went to work. I got up and I made those things happen. You get the glory, but I got up. I'm here, Lord. So many times in the Bible, people like Peter and others would tell Jesus, I did it. Look at me. Even Nehemiah, when speaking to God, dealing with protecting the income of the priest in the reformation of the new country of Israel after their exile, he looked at the Lord and said, Lord, now remember this good thing that I've done for your kingdom. Amen. Think of the good things you have done for the kingdom of God. Think of the children you've raised, the people you're impacting. Think of the things that you've done up until this point, and look at the Lord and praise Him and say, Lord, I'm so glad I am what I am, and by grace I am saved this morning. And the works are just because I love you. I'm not working because I'm trying to appease you. I work you just because I love you, because I'm already all right with you. How many got that? Right on. So you're going to praise God for you. Go ahead and praise God for you right now. Give him a hand. Number two, I love Derek Jeter. Anyway, you have greatness within. Yeah, I mean, I use Derek Jeter because who knew that he had that much greatness? And he wasn't the greatest hitter, wasn't the greatest of fielders, but he was good enough at everything to be great. And so there is greatness within you this morning. And the Bible says it this way: you are of God, little children, and have what? Say it. And overcome them. Now I want you to think about what you have overcome. Think about it some more. Think about what you have overcome. And because of this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's not that what you overcame is giving you increased power for anything. No, the power was already in you, and to reflect on it was to remind you that guess what? Something greater is divinely in you that, hey, helps you to raise to the occasion of every situation, every moment in your life. You can come in and you can fix the marriage, you can fix the home, you can fix the job, you can fix the situation. The answer is inside of you in Jesus' name. Let the church say, amen. And so then, what's your story this morning? For the Bible says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we do not love our lives until the death. In other words, I believe in Jesus, and I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but now my personality, my presence, my purpose, everything in me includes Him now. Everything includes Him now. That's why I'm in church this morning, because everything about me includes Him now. And so now I don't love my life for just myself. I love my life for the glory of the Lord. And this is my story. This is my testimony. I am fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. You know, last year, a year ago, when Dr. Trudy looked at me, what he was really doing, he said this, John. Here it is. I'm going to open you up, and I'm going to cut through layers of tissue and muscle, and I'm going to get to the pancreas, buried deep inside of there, and my only thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to remove the sick part of you. Then I'm going to sew you back up, and then that wonderfully made thing must do its part. And I would go back in 2 weeks, and he would check to see if I'm really wonderfully made. And then 2 weeks later, he'd check in and see, are you really wonderfully made? And then as the stitches healed and things began to relax, he'd say, you go on back to the gym. Let's see if you're really wonderfully made. And then we went back again. There was another CAT scan. In about June, they check again and say, guess what? I think you may be fearfully, wonderfully made. Because we have divinity within us. Our bodies can do what it's designed to do, even when assaulted by a medical procedure. Because surgery is an assault on your body. But medical science is banking on the divine nature of your physical body's ability to heal. Then one more time you go in, and it says, it happened again. Another one of God's kids who are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, who now have greatness within them, who have a testimony that Jesus is Lord, and nothing is impossible with God. Wow! Say this with me. I have greatness within me. Number three is this. You have eternity within you. You not only are something else, you're wonderful. You're an overcomer, and you have a testimony, and there's greatness in you, but you have eternity within you, and Jesus died to awaken that eternity. For the Bible says, for the wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is what? In Christ Jesus. Say, I am into Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm so into Jesus. And so we got to look within. And when you look within, we pray this every Sunday from Romans 8:11. Lord, let the same power that raised Christ from the grave is living in me. Eternity's in me. So in other words, if eternity's in you, each time you remember eternity within you in any situation, you are remembering what the Bible says. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you are walking around with eternity in you, with the power to do the impossible within you. With anything that you do this year, you have the power to overcome. You have the power to impact it. You have the power to change it. You have the power to summon your person, your presence, and your purpose, and make it happen for the glory of the Lord. Let the church say, I have divine roots. Everything I need is already inside me. Say, I am a wonder. Greatness is within me, and eternity is within me, because I was created a whole person. And this morning, you are getting in touch with that whole person within you that's already there. Bow your head and close your eyes all around the room. A whole person is already there. See, the scripture said that she had an infirmity. That infirmity could have been any number of things. The infirmity may have been years of poor behavior around her, or people that spoke negative around her, or people that were her environment may not have been as supportive. Some of us have been in environments that actually have done detriment to our physical man. And we need the Lord to give us strength to overcome it. Jesus saw that no matter what brought her to a place that she was bent over by life, no matter how much her body was defying her, or no matter what was going wrong, she kept being present. She kept showing up, because the greater one was within her. And one day, if your presence is always there where Jesus is, your past may catch up with your faith right now in your present. For God is the God of the now. He says, now your faith is the substance of things hoped for and an evidence of things not seen. He says, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, now. Every moment of my life, I am making the decision to live divinely and inspired by the power and purpose of God that is within me. So, Father, in this room, as we approach this new year with all of its possibilities, Some may run into what I ran into last year, some unexpected news, or the year before, where, you know, for 2 years you've got an interesting path ahead, but doesn't matter. As long as I know who I am and who I serve, as long as I know my person, I'm present, and I'm purposed by God, I will rise to the occasion. I will seize my moment, and God will be glorified.